You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning, 8:06. Nice to have you back. It's Friday morning, December 5th, 2025. Parker Olson producing things in Madison Studio A2. Mike Clemens going to join us with sports at the bottom of the hour. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is going to join us first. She's on the road attending meetings, meeting people, getting things done, and still finds a little time for us here today. Dr. Lyerly, how are you?
Good morning. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Hey, we're putting the word out for Rob from Tigerton because we don't see a weather report from him yet. And I know he mentioned injuring his knee the other day. Mm-hmm. So, Rob, if you're listening, we hope you're feeling better soon and give us an update on things. Although, again, don't try to be a copycat for Kristen. Don't go seeking out a knee replacement. It's not for everybody, you know.
It is not for everybody. It is not for the faint of heart.
Let's look at the mailbag here. Alicia writes in. We were talking about peanut butter balls in the last segment because Sherry makes a ton of them. You know, dips them in chocolate, freezes them. Alicia says, "Yeah, peanut butter balls would not make it beyond my house if I made them." That's part of the reason we make so many. It's the only way that we have enough to give out here.
Pat, let's see. Yes. We make peanut butter balls too, and I have to hide them in strategic places because mm-hmm. the kids have gotten really smart mm-hmm. about finding them, and they never make it till Christmas. And my kids are big now, and they're big and smart, so putting them in, I've resorted to putting them in like bags of, because you want to keep them frozen because they're nice and cold.
Right.
So I'll buy like a giant bag of frozen peas and I'll embed them within the frozen peas. It's gotten very strategic.
Wow.
I didn't know that was that kind of a thing that needed to happen.
Wow. That's great. You know what I did just as an experiment the last weekend when she was making them was we still haven't put away a few things from summer, including first there's the s'more basket. And I love chocolate dipped graham crackers. Mm-hmm. And so I did a couple of those since she had some chocolate left over after doing all the peanut butter balls and then some of the marshmallows as well. So basically I made chocolate dipped s'mores, you know, I mean, in separate pieces. But I thought now that after I had a good first run, I realized the next time I'm going to, because we still have some marshmallows left, I'm going to dip those in chocolate and then I'm going to roll them in some graham cracker crumbs.
Ooh.
And then you truly have a s'more right there.
Oh,
how's
and
that?
I think you should call it a Kreitlow. You need to name it after yourself.
Need to name it? Okay.
Yes.
I'll work on that. I'll work on that. They say branding is also important.
Yes.
So the s'more basket, we hadn't emptied that yet. And I just realized during the news break here, as I've walked past it, you know, a thousand times, another relic of summer is the boat bag. The boat bag is still here for the pontoon.
Uh-huh. Right next to you. Very handy.
Very handy, because you never know when is the last boat ride. And so it's always got sunglasses, the boat key. It's got my Jimmy Buffett Margaritaville with the little patch on it that says, take life with a grain of salt and a slice of lime and a shot of tequila.
That's a lot on a hat.
Yep, there's a lot of canned cozies in here, including for Crow's Nest, one of our local bars up here in Jim Falls. Not one, but two bottles of sunscreen.
Oh, which, good.
Again,
be prepared.
I don't think I'm going to need those today. So, and more stuff. So I guess I have to give it up. Summer's done, right?
Yeah, I'm in Minneapolis and I am looking out the window and summer is done.
Yeah, it's the late snow started here in the last half hour, and we're gonna get snow chances, you know, like every other day for the next few days here.
And
so
it's cold.
It's
blowing.
I have to let it go. I was asking earlier about wood paneled station wagons because Sean Duffy made a comment that said he hopes they make a comeback. Roger writes in on Facebook, I had a 92 old station wagon with the fake wood paneling. I survived that car for 5 years. So Yeah.
I remember those.
Uh-huh. Yep. Mm-hmm. Alicia, by the way, adds a good morning with a lot of emphasis and says that she is super chipper today. So that is great.
Less coffee for Alicia.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Let's see. And she also puts in now, okay, I know where to find the peanut butter balls at Dr. Lyerly's house.
Cool. Oh, you just try. I pod them out because I put them in different places, because if they find one, the whole treasure can't be in one spot. Kind of like a scavenger hunt.
Them no? I mean, you're the parent, right?
I mean, I can. Okay. I can tell them no.
Tell them Santa's watching.
Yeah, I can tell them that too.
Yeah, okay.
That's a whole other story for another day, Pat. Yep.
Are you familiar with today's big controversy about the Brewers' uniform change?
I'm not. Are they see-through like last time?
No, they're not. They're not cheaply made. Yeah, that was a whole thing. No, and I know this is not on my list of things that Mike Clemens sent in to talk about sports at 8:35, but I'm going to make him talk about it. The uproar over the new uniforms introduced yesterday, instead of the road grays, gray top, gray pants, the new tops are powder blue. They're bringing back powder blue tops for the road uniforms.
Great.
Just tops?
Just tops. And I don't mean they're going without pants. I mean, they're keeping the gray pants, and the internet has lost its dang mind over, oh by the way, and that includes one Parker Olson. He is really worked up about powder blue tops with gray pants and how goofy it looks.
It's dumb. Oh. It's so dumb.
Sounds terrible. I'm going to.
Yeah, you do. You take a look. So, all right. So Kristen does not join the outrage yet, but once she sees it, she might be doing that. Now, you are in the cities here on business for ACOG, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, and there's always so many issues to talk about, because there's no end to the extremist politicians who want to do as much as they can to take away women's healthcare rights. And one of the more ludicrous events comes out of Texas, which again is using intimidation, fear mongering. I mean, the word bounty is coming up. Tell folks what the new Texas law is and what its status is.
So starting yesterday in Texas, a new law has been enacted that allows anyone to sue anyone who manufactures, sends, supplies, just anybody who gives abortion medication to somebody in Texas, anybody can sue the person who has given them that medication. Essentially, what this is intended to do is stop people from ordering medication abortion from other states, which is how nearly two-thirds of abortions are delivered across the country these days, just because of all of the abortion bans. So other states like Maryland, like Minnesota, where I am right now, these states have enacted shield laws to protect patients and doctors who provide and seek abortion care. The Texas law is intended to break through those shield laws so that they can sue doctors in other states. Like we've seen in Louisiana and Texas, there's a doctor in New York who provides medication abortion. We've seen that doctor attacked by those two states. So this is not a criminal penalty, it's a civil penalty, which means there's a financial incentive or a bounty. So Texas, thank you. But this is not going to stop abortion providers. Abortion providers are people who are providing this essential life-saving medication that we know is good. We've had it for over 25 years. It's been FDA approved. Abortion providers are steeled in their determination to make sure that our patients can get health care. So we're determined. People can still get the care that they need. Texas, not so good.
I totally get that. And the problem is that there's still that intimidation. There's uh-huh. there's still going to be the first wave of suits that are filed, you mm-hmm. know, and it's all about costing people money. That's why Trump does all of the things that he does, is he knows he's not going to be successful. But, you know, if he can make people afraid or make people rack up huge legal bills, that might deter some people. And so, I mean, the best thing would be for courts to act quickly to slap down these kinds of things. But until they do, that's why we put information out like this, is to let people know what is the state of the law, and to let you know that people are fighting it, but it may take some time.
Yes. And I think, to your point, Pat, it's the chilling effect. Yeah. We saw this in Wisconsin as well after the Dobbs decision, after Roe v. Wade. Here in Wisconsin, people didn't know if it was safe or legal to get abortion care, and doctors didn't know whether they could offer it or where to send their patients. It's been back and forth in Wisconsin. You'll remember that for a long time we didn't offer abortion care. Then the Supreme Court said that we could. Then Planned Parenthood said they weren't going to. People are very confused about what they can access, and this is already challenging healthcare to provide and receive. This just adds one more barrier, one more layer that makes it harder for people to get the care that they need.
Yeah. And, you know, it's also not helpful when there are still laws on the books from the 1800s, and not just the Wisconsin law that we've been talking about, but the Comstock Act from 1873 that, you know, anti-choice extremists want to use, when the best solution overall would be to get government out of this business altogether.
Please say that again.
The best thing would be to get government out of this business altogether of trying to dictate what a woman can do with her body, period. And that is the only thing that is going to lead to the kind of responsible health care that will minimize abortions, because people will have access to birth control. They'll have better education. They'll have greater self-esteem that comes with better health education. And the busybodies can, you know, go fight some other battle if we could just get government out of the business of its war on women's bodily autonomy.
Yes, and it's not just about abortion. We know that they have a plan to take birth control away. The Heritage Foundation has published this roadmap to take birth control away from us. They've already questioned IUDs. Now they're talking about hormonal methods. Those of us who have been watching in Wisconsin saw the Republicans in Wisconsin circulate a bill to force women to use catch kits if they use medication abortion, and catch the contents of their uterus in a container that I like to call a Brill bag or a Jacques in the box, because I think that these catch kits should be named after the people who wrote this ridiculous legislation. And they say that it's about clean water, that they don't want this material in the water. But the truth is, this material has nothing to do with the water. If you are serious about clean water, clean up the PFAS, clean up the lead pipes, do something actually serious. Don't criminalize women for having a body that functions.
Say that again.
Don't criminalize women for having a body that functions.
There we go. Yeah. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is with us. And then a little bit later on, we'll talk to Mike Clemens. We'll do a little bit of sports here. But let me give you a couple of headlines quick before the break, simply to let you know that there is some sports on the radio here across the Civic Media Radio Network. And that would include tonight, the Badger men's hockey team is at Notre Dame. Coverage will begin at 5:30 on our station in Wisconsin Rapids. And then the Badger men's basketball team taking on Marquette at the Kohl Center tomorrow. Coverage begins at 1 o'clock on stations in Wisconsin Rapids, Richland Center, and Ironwood, Michigan. And of course, you got the Packers versus the Bears. Coverage beginning at 1 o'clock on several stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. Kristen, you going to be at the game?
I'm going to be around the game.
Yeah, she's always around the game. She's always Packer adjacent. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Civic 855-752-4842. We're asking about your first car and whether you'd go back to it, if that was the only car to go back to, because Sean Duffy was waxing nostalgic about wood-paneled station wagons as justification for getting rid of fuel mileage standards, or at least weakening them substantially. Let's see. I believe it was Alicia that said on YouTube, yes. My first car was a cheap Chevy Malibu that I was scammed into paying way too much for at a dealership just off base. So yeah, not everybody has a great experience. Roger told us earlier about his 92 Olds station wagon with the fake wood paneling and having to survive that car for 4 years, 5 years. Did you have anything like that?
My first car was shared. It was my mom's car, and it was her pride and joy. It was a 67 Pontiac Le Mans. It was blue. I loved that car. I waxed it, and when I got the wax in the insignia, because remember the insignia used to stick out, I would pick it out with a toothpick. I loved that car so much, and then I wrecked it.
Oh.
I know.
Oh, what happened?
I was 16, and I just had a stupid accident like 16-year-olds do, and I still... 40 years later, I'm mourning the car because I loved it so much.
Oh my gosh, it sounds like it. Did you have, between, friends and others, did anybody have they had the legendary beater car? I know in my particular circle of friends, that was my car because it was that 73 Fury. Others had nice little hand-me-down cars, but mine was definitely the beater of the group. Did you have somebody whose car you still remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my high school boyfriend had like an old Oldsmobile, but it was just a joke. But it ran. It got you from point A to point B. And when you live in a small town, you don't have to worry about big city driving or highways. You just need something to get you from one place to another.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Tony says, my 94 Chevy Lumina went from my dad to my sister to me. Aww. And I loved it. So you do see that more, that cars, again, because they're built better, Sean Duffy, will go to two and sometimes three generations. Unless you take really good care of them, it can go even deeper. Our oldest grandson, who's 19, he is currently driving a 1994 Buick, a white Buick, four-door with, I believe it's like red cloth seats or something like that.
Nice.
But he got him from like his grandparents, like a great uncle. They're retired now, but it was basically a case of they drove the car to church on Sundays, and that's about it. The car it's not brand new, but he's definitely have to learn to do things like change out, different pumps and things. So it's a good learning experience actually. But again, free car that was taken care of, before it started aging. Whereas nowadays, again, don't forgive the old man rant, but you don't get an education about your car nowadays because it's all computers and everything else. You can't tinker with it. It's too much. It's high tech.
And that white Buick with the red interior, I bet the ladies love that. Ka-chow. It's like a rolling Valentine.
Maybe. I can't say that I've asked him about that. So.
You should get some of those like Valentine stickers, the ones that aren't permanent. You put them on your windows, the window clings, and just like decorate them all over the outside of the car, mostly just on the back and the passenger side so that when he gets in, he doesn't know. So he's driving down the street with this like heart. That would be so fun.
You're diabolical.
Sabotaging somebody's car with decorations.
We have a running joke in my car where we've got that like the student driver, please be patient sticker, that magnet, and it gets like secretly passed on to the different cars.
See now that's nice and subversive. I like that. Like you never know when you're gonna. Oh, Tony, why Tony's doing me dirty on YouTube.
Oh.
Didn't you say you were anxious to be a great grandfather? No, Tony, no. No.
Is anxious the word?
Why would you go there? Petrified. My goodness. Chris in Eau Claire writes, a Ford Country Squire station wagon.
Ooh.
Bought it for $100. Lots of rust, but it started all winter.
$100. That's an investment.
$100 station wagon. Okay, Chris, I'm afraid I'm going to have to know your age. Because you didn't give the year of the car or your age, but... I don't know the last time somebody paid $100 for a station wagon,
that runs. Yep. It gets you from point A to point B.
Yep, yep, exactly. Let's end on the serious note that we started with, simply because there is a question in here, and I know it comes up a lot. So, Kristen, let's address this question on birth control and abortion. And it's from Tom in Hartford, who says, what percentage of abortions are done for convenience? That's the word you always hear, instead of saving the life of the mother. And he goes on to say he's very pro-birth control, but we hear this a lot, that it's about convenience. And I do hear that question too, about percentage of abortions done for convenience instead of some other reason. I'm sure you've heard that too.
Oh, sure. I mean, how do you define convenience? Mm-hmm. Convenience for what reason? Hey, it is such a personal decision, and it is so embedded in the context of why you're making this decision and how it all fits into your life. We're not talking about whether or not to get a colonoscopy here. We're talking about, you know, potentially bringing a child into the world that completely changes the trajectory of not only your life, but the life of all the people in your family and your surroundings. So I don't know that convenience, there's no data on convenience, because nobody surveys anybody on that. But that's just not how it is. And I think anybody of the 1 in 4 women in this country who have had an abortion, for whatever their reason is, they all have a reason. Yeah. And it's a reason that makes perfect sense to them. So we have to trust women, and we have to recognize that abortion is healthcare.
And by the way, it's not just the motivation for the answer, but the motivation for asking the question. Why are you asking, and why is it your business? You know.
And how about we make sure everybody can get birth control and healthcare?
Yeah.
Let's do that. Let's
all
focus
of that
on that
as one big old package. Have a great time in the Twin Cities. We'll talk to you on Monday morning.
Sounds great. Thank you, Pat.
All right. Thank you, Kristen. Talk to you later. Mike Clemens coming up with sports next. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's get you into the weekend now with some sports and bring in Mike Clemens to talk all about that. And see, here's the thing with Mike. He works really hard, okay, to find the best sports stories. And they involve, you know, everything that the Packers are doing on the field and off the field. You know, what the Bucks are doing, the Badgers. You got to follow it all. And you never know which one that you think is the big sports story, and it turns out to be something completely different. And so let's welcome in Mike Mike, I never dreamed for a moment that the big hot story in sports this morning would be that the Brewers announced new road uniforms, powder blue tops, but because the pants don't match, because it's gray pants, the comment section is going crazy with this. I guess that means you and I might not be shelling out $100 for a new powder blue uniform top.
Well, you know,
I don't know.
Man, listen, I'm not crazy about a lot of these uniforms. I'm not crazy about the all-white Packer uniforms and white helmets, by the way, what they do is that they have the form up to your head. They pull that out, and they give you a different helmet. You know, before you used to have, you know, Red Batty had to make all the, had to pull the decals off and do it physically. Now they got 3 or 4 different helmets. The average fan, boy, they save up this money. They're buying $200 or more per ticket. I want to see the team that I've been, you know, raised on watching since I was a kid. You know, if I go to Boston and I see the Red Sox at Fenway, I want to see a Boston Red Sox jersey, not that banana peel that they wear sometimes on Friday night. You know that one? It's just crazy. I missed this, but I heard that you jumped on it, and people are going crazy about this story.
They are, which it's understandable that people go, okay, the shirt, the top and the bottoms don't match. I just did not expect it as I was scrolling through social media today. I mean, the number of people that took the time to comment on that has me thinking they might rethink things. We might see powder blue pants yet before opening day. These are the weighty questions that Mike Clemens is going to be asked to talk about when spring training gets underway. But,
you know, so I went to my email, I found it, you know, but it's like when I see it's from the marketing department, I'm like, okay,
yeah.
I'll catch up on that over the weekend, man.
I'm looking
to see if Freddie Peralta's been traded yet, you know?
Right. That's right.
Kid kind of has my attention right now for the Brewers file.
I had no idea. I knew they were coming out. I saw that as well, but it wasn't until I looked at a post and I saw, like, you know, it said like 1,500 comments or something. I'm like, well, I got to take a look at this. And sure enough, you know.
Oh, it's the funniest things, though, that tick these people off, you know.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But you know something? You know, after talking to some players this week, you know, that's the thing that we forget about players. You know, these players that stand out there in front of microphones, like Caleb Williams. Yeah. We're blocking out the noise. We're not listening to the noise. They absolutely are, okay? Mm-hmm. Which is why you got, like, your star basketball player, Giannis, you know, suddenly scrubbing his account of anything mentioning the Bucks or the city of Milwaukee or something. Or Matthew Golden, did you know that a couple of weeks ago he blew up his Instagram account? And then everybody gets upset about that, like, the number one pick, the rookie. Maybe he's not, he's not getting enough passes. He's already going AJ Brown on you. And it's like I can't pay attention to this stuff. And then what happens? Then ESPN, you wake up Wednesday morning, and you know, Giannis, they won a game, then they lost a horrible game to the Wizards, a Washington Wizards team Monday night in Washington. They've only had 2-16, and you lost to these knuckleheads. Chris Middleton over there laughing. And all of a sudden, here comes another report from ESPN. Giannis Antetokounmpo and his agent have now, you know, approached the Milwaukee Bucks franchise about, possibly exploring a trade somewhere down there in the future for Giannis. Is that the next thing for him? Is that maybe the best thing for him? And but listen, there's too much smoke in that story, in that saga.
Yeah.
And it starts with, you know. I mean, I've been around Giannis. I've told you this story. If I could take you along to a game, usually they bring in Giannis or their star player of the night, like into the press conference room. But like one night they'll come to you and say, hey, Mike, listen, there's just a couple guys here, the other guys want to get going. Come on, follow me. I'll take you to the locker room. So then you're standing there before Giannis Antetokounmpo, and this was like last spring, and there goes Chris Middleton with two bad ankles, and he's putting on his coat and leaving already. And there goes Damian Lillard waving goodbye after talking to us. Giannis is there with all these little kitchen timers and both feet and buckets of straight ice water for 20 minutes, soaking these feet because that's what the trainers tell him to do. He follows that to the T. That's how competitive this guy is. And the timers are going off while you're talking to him, you know, getting some radio clips. And that's how dedicated it is. But, you know, he's been with these guys since he was 18. He's almost like a TV child star.
Yeah.
And in some ways, you know, he pouts if he doesn't get his way. And then you approach this latest wave of stories like, come on, man. And now ESPN's naming the agent. You know, this is very strong stuff. And the coach goes, for the 50th time, the guy says he loves the Bucks. Loves Milwaukee, okay? And, you know, these networks might have their sources. I've got my source, all right? It's the player. It's the player. He's never once ever said the word trade, at least to me, the head coach. And so the saga continues.
And so it does. And that, of course, will be discussed tonight as the Bucks host the 76ers at the Fiserv Forum. And then at the Kohl Center tomorrow, we've got the Badger men's basketball team. They will be hosting Marquette after the Badgers beat Northwestern to open up the Big Ten season. And so that always, no matter how the teams are doing, Mike, when the Badgers are playing Marquette, that always gets some good attention, a little cross-state rivalry.
Oh, and you know Marquette loves if they can pull that upset. Shaka Smart is a great coach. Now, he lost a lot of his best players from last year, but he's got a couple guys that he can depend on, like Ben Gold and some others for top scores. Up against Greg Gard, who's, you know, really sharp coach, really experienced.
Right.
And with all the competition out there, he's still holding on his program. He's 6-2. Golden Eagles are 5-4 now after the win that they had the other night. 1:00. At the Kohl Center tomorrow, and I believe it's going to be covered on your local Fox Sports station.
Yep, and Civic Media stations in Wisconsin Rapids, yes. Richland Center, and Ironwood, Michigan will have the game as well. Then there's the Badger men's hockey team. They are at Notre Dame tonight. Coverage begins at 5:30 on our station in Wisconsin Rapids. And one last Badger note, the women are in the NCAA volleyball tournament. They're hosting the first and second rounds, and in the first round, they swept Eastern Illinois. Advancing to the second round of the tournament for the 13th year in a row, the Badger women will face North Carolina at 7 o'clock tonight at the Fieldhouse. The winner moves on to Austin, Texas for the regional semifinals. So that gets you caught up on
Coach Kelly Sheffield, he's so respected up there. He's such a good guy to talk to, and he's just all about that volleyball program. The players trust him. They do some great recruiting. It's one of the top programs in the country, and so they're taking on North Carolina Tar Heels. I think that gets set for 7 o'clock tonight. If you've got ESPN Plus, you can stream that. And they sell tickets to this thing. UW Fieldhouse will be packed tonight.
Oh yes,
hosting
it will.
That NCAA regional tournament game.
Yeah, and I know some people are extremely unhappy that the NCAA set up the deal where the first and second rounds are streaming only. They're making the pitch that, hey, this is really catching on, and there are viewers, there's ratings to be had. So I won't be the least bit surprised if next year you see the tournament on regular TV from the first round onward. But for the next round here for tonight, you're like Mike said, you're going to have to use the ESPN streaming service to get that. Let's go ahead and look at that Packers-Bears game, 3:25 kickoff at Lambeau Field. The coverage begins at 1 o'clock on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Park Falls, Racine, and Wautoma. Bears are in first place in the NFC North, but Mike, the NFC is really tight. If I read it correctly, the Bears are the number one seed in the NFC right now, but by losing that game, they could tumble as far as a 7th seed because things are so tight right now.
That's true. And, as they're going into this five-game winning streak, but last Friday night, they went into Philadelphia, and they beat the Eagles 24-15. They ran the ball. They rushed for 281 yards between DeAndre Swift, former Eagle, and then this kid Kyle Minogue, who's out of Rutgers. He was like the leading rusher last year in the Big Ten. And he got nicked up a little bit, but he was able to practice yesterday. 281 yards rushing, kept the ball out of Jalen Hurts' hands. That defense of the Bears. I was asking Christian Watson, I said, what's the difference between this Bears team and the one that you guys faced like 10 months ago? He said, defense? He said, they're just better at assignments. They're not making mistakes. It's hard to catch them in a coverage mistake. And I'm like, you know why? Because it's Dennis Allen. That's the defensive coordinator that Ben Johnson hired. Dennis is the guy that was Sean Payton's right-hand man when the Saints were great. And then Payton got out of New Orleans. Drew Brees retired. Dennis Allen was handed the keys, but he didn't have a quarterback. So he struggled, and maybe he's not head coach material, but he's a darn good detail-oriented defensive coordinator. And now the Bears have 17 interceptions. 17. Mm-hmm. They lead the league with 17 interceptions this season. Kevin Byard is their safety. That was a good free agency pickup from Ryan Poles. LaFleur, he never does this. He complimented what the Poles has done as a GM and adding here and there, some pieces to help improve their offensive line, the back end of their secondary. That guy's leading the league with 6 interceptions. So those are the things that they're up against. But right now, Packers are playing great on offense. Jordan Love, 4 touchdowns, passes against the Lions, named NFC Offensive Player of the Week. Also got the Walter Payton Award, which is for his community service with his Hands of Love Foundation. Got to talk to him about that. You'll hear that in one of my updates here at the top of the hour for sports. Packers are in a good place. I think they might get Jaden Reed, the wide receiver, back.
That you anticipated my next question, whether he was going to be back from both shoulder and foot surgeries, and whether he's practicing in pads. So in our last minute and a half here, do you think Jaden Reed comes back as early as this weekend?
But they could be real careful and say one more or two padded practices next week against the Broncos. But he looks pretty good right now. He seems to be pretty confident. So maybe he can get in that rotation for Sunday's game. I don't think, though, Matthew Golden's going to be play yet. because he's been very limited in his participation with still dealing with a wrist injury. But Josh Jacobs, got to talk to him for a long time, and the big difference in this game is Micah Parsons.
Yes.
He is such an amazing athlete, leader, competitor, thoughtful. I'm already envisioning that name up in the ring if these guys can win the Super Bowl in the Ring of Honor. Micah Parsons is impressing me more each week.
Yeah, we would love for him to have a big game against the Bears now and again less than 2 weeks later when they play on a Saturday night. Mike Clemens, thank you so much for all of this. We'll catch your updates at the top of the hour all across the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.
You too, Pat. Thank you, pal.
All right. Thank you very much. Again, Packers versus the Bears. Coverage begins at 1 o'clock for a 3:25 kickoff on some of our Civic Media stations. And yeah, as I was saying, again, 3:25 kickoff this Sunday. And then less than 2 weeks later, they've got a Saturday game on December 20th. And that game will be in prime time with a 7:20 kickoff, I believe it is. We will have some final news and notes from Lake Wissota. Wrap up the week here coming up next. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. Follow us at upnorthnewswi.com. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
There it is, my walk-off music for Fridays, giving me a chance to express my gratitude to all of this week's great guests. What a busy week we had. I mean, just today, we had Kia Vakil, of course, from Courier Newsroom. Greg Bach joined us for history. Mark Jacob, Jennifer Schulze, Jim Santel, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, Mike Clemens there that you just heard. But, I mean, we also had Brian Lemick from Defend the Vote. We had pediatrician Dr. Kelly Snook in. Craig Gilbert, longtime writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, joining us to talk about 2026 and how the environment is looking there. We also heard from Dennis McBride, the mayor of Wauwatosa, who's got a new book out all about 2020, his first year as mayor, and everything that was going on. Wauwatosa was truly a microcosm of the country, and he's got a new book about it, and we thank Dennis McBride for joining us, along with his brother Pat McBride and a whole bunch of other folks who on Monday surprised Dr. Kristen Lyerly with happy birthday greetings. We also had, of course, Selena Heller from Up North News. You can follow everything that she does by following us at upnorthnewswi.com or upnorthnewswi on all the socials. We talked about wedding barns and what the legislature is and isn't doing about them with Gene Bond, who is a wedding barn owner, and also Sheila Everhart from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association, and of course our friend Hans Breitenmoser, who is a dairy farmer from up in the Lincoln County area. Dan Schaefer, we talked to him from the Recombobulation area, all about former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes getting into the governor's race. We also talked to political strategist Joe Zepecki about that, and what is the shape of the race now that there are six named Democrats running for governor, probably a seventh one about to get into the race as well. Melissa Baldoff had our climate check. Sean O'Malley talked all about your money and the markets and the lack of trustworthy data from the U.S. government now because of the way the Trump administration has handled data before, during, and since the government shutdown. And, of course, all of our Civic Media friends like Chad Holmes, John and Gordy, Jane Matinair, James Kelly, Jimmy Kuska, and more. Parker, I don't know how we kept track of it all. I don't know how we do it day after day, week after week.
I can't count to four. I don't know how. I don't know how you did that, Pat.
You go back and look at all of this, and again, it's nothing but straight up gratitude for folks who make this show what it is and help it come together. As I look ahead to the next week, again, we're we're going to have just another good bunch of guests who are going to be on, including Richard Trent, who is the National Executive Director for Main Street Alliance, will be joining us, along with Ruth Khanna from the Wisconsin Examiner. And that's all. I just book these people and yap with them. Parker over here is the one that's actually got to log it, tape it, you know, get them set for the weekend best of shows. Maybe one or two of these get submitted for a WBA award. Maybe I feel like the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association should be on notice that Parker's about to flood the zone with entries from this little radio show.
I mean, I got plenty of work to do. Frankly, yeah, Pat, I would appreciate it if you had a little worse of a show so I didn't so much stuff to do.
I've tried to do my part, but mediocrity is just not in the blood here. We have to have excellence.
I guess
as
you
much
can
as
be
possible.
Really good.
Yeah. This is where I'd normally tell you what's coming up next on Matt and Air on Air, but there is a big white blank square on the calendar here because
you know what that means.
Jane Matt and Air is winding things down. And so it's all about the surprises.
Exactly. It's a week full of surprises. Next week, I think next week, Matt and Air on Air, you have to listen. You have no excuse not to listen.
Jane's
you usually don't have an excuse to not listen.
Jane's wrapping up an 82-year career in broadcasting, or however long it was. She'll love hearing that because some days it does feel like it. But, Jane, the woman, the myth, the legend, is going to be wrapping things up. So you're going to want to tune in from 9 to 11 all the way through. So, again, we'll have some great guests for you as well next week. This weekend, the Christmas parties continue. I mentioned that there was a clinic Christmas party for my wife's work yesterday. There's a neighborhood one tonight that we've got to get planned for. And then there's my old co-anchor, Judy Clark, has a retirement party this weekend. This is definitely the season for parties. There's been a couple of places where we wanted to go to like grab a bite or something and forgot that that's the season. And the place is like packed with all the various holiday parties that come together.
Yeah. And
I don't know about you though, because it's always been Whitewater football. What do you do now? Sorry, I wasn't rubbing it in. I know
you're not. I'm just very sad. Honestly, this is always the hardest time of year for me.
when Whitewater football goes away.
Not necessarily that, but football in general just winds down now.
Yes.
Even though it's like getting really exciting because we're getting into conference championships and stuff. But like,
yeah.
It's just.
But you can also, from a college football standpoint in Division I, I mean, what's that? The playoffs, you know. Are now what, 12 teams?
12 teams.
I think this year.
Yes.
You know they're going to expand it to 16 as soon as humanly possible.
Yeah.
Where once upon a time, it was just a national championship game. And of course, I'm old enough to remember, well, heck, you are too, when there was no national championship game. Mm-hmm. It was whatever
it was
the AP writers said. Yep. It was a poll that determined your national champion. We've kind of evolved since then into all these games. Are the games there to help determine a true national champion? Nay, nay.
No.
The money. The answer to all your questions is money. So
this is very true.
I sense you might speculate on this and other things on Make the Call tomorrow morning.
Yes, we will. We'll be talking about plenty of stuff. I imagine a little bit of Giannis talk will be in there.
Oh, gosh.
For better or for worse.
Yeah. I mean, it's required at this point. And yeah. I was glad to have Mike Clemens on just kind of essentially setting the record straight when you can go right to the horse's mouth, or in this case, the superstar and his coach. And, that's what they're going to tell you. And if anything's going to come, it's on a need-to-know basis. And at the moment, we do not need to know. At
I would
least
like
in their
to know.
Estimation. We would like to know. That's what we do here is, rampant speculation until we get confirmation. So, Giannis, let's make it happen. Let's just put your foot down and say this is it. Parker, have a great weekend. Thank you so much for everything. And thanks to all of you for tuning in. I am Pat Kreitlow, founding editor of Up North News. We are the Wisconsin home for Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. We'll see you Monday morning back here up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.